This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining us on this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, we are now up to show number 415. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Microsoft, your go-to resource for collaboration tools your company needs to absolutely be successful. Well, on today's show, if there's something we can all agree about in 2017, that these are uncertain times. But how can a small business owner lead when they don't know what's around the next corner? Plus, how can you grow your network if, like me, you're an introvert? Plus, we will show you how to get control of the information inside your company. Plus, if publicly traded companies that women are on the boards of and in management positions are more profitable, why are there still so few women at this level? But first, you know, every 2 years, I take a big trip with my family in the world. I've been doing this since the kids were 8 and 10 years old, and now they're 21 and 24. And this past year, we went to trek gorillas in Rwanda and go on safari in South Africa. I think that travel and getting off the grid is such an important part of being successful in business. My next guest took 16 months to sail around the world with his family. Jeremy Cage is the author of All Dreams on Deck and president of the Cage Group, which focuses on unleashing the full potential of businesses and people. He has held senior manager positions at Procter & Gamble and PepsiCo. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Barry. Great to be here.
Well, I can't imagine taking 16 months to travel around the world with my family. How'd you come up with this, and how'd you convince your wife and kids actually to do this?
Well, so how did I come up with it? It was just always a dream. I'd always loved sailing, and it was a dream that I'd had for a long time. And when my wife and I were first married, we actually talked about it, and right from the get-go, she was on board. And actually, when you're taking a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old out of school for a year and a half to go sail around the world, that didn't actually
take much persuading. It's like my kids are 21 and 24, and I can't believe they still come on our trips with us. But they're like, Dad, you keep paying, we'll keep coming.
You got it. You got to make them interesting, though. You got to make them exciting.
So really, Jeremy, what motivated you to go do this? I mean, you had a fairly traditional trajectory being executive at a lot of CPG companies. Why go off and do this?
Well, I actually think that most businesses breed stale senior executives, meaning you sit behind a desk for 25 years, and all of a sudden you're in a senior position where you have to transform the company, and you just don't have the tools in your toolbox. So when I sat down with PepsiCo, I said, you know what? A trip like this is going to challenge my courage in a way that it's never going to be able to test it behind a desk. It's going to test my leadership. It's going to strengthen me in ways. It's going to give me a whole new toolbox for when I come back to the company to be able to lead much more effectively. And so that was the premise that Steve Reinemann, who was the CEO of PepsiCo at the time, certainly aspired, well, he agreed with, and let me do it.
And was there the Pepsi sponsor? There was like a Pepsi on the side of the boat?
No, they didn't sponsor it, but I didn't have to quit the company. I took a sabbatical. So the key agreement that I had with the company was the specific date that I would come back, but also that I would develop a leadership program based on everything that I'd learned from the experience, and then teach that throughout the PepsiCo system, which is what I did. And that actually formed the foundation for the companies that I currently run.
You know, that's very interesting, because for me, every 2 years, when I got off the grid for 14 or 20 days, I really find that my mind not only slows down, but it opens up. Tell us what that experience was like when you were sailing for 16 months.
Well, you obviously have an awful lot of time to think. You know, when you're crossing an ocean and it takes you 20 days at sea, you do have plenty of time just to sort of sit and reflect. And when you turn off all of the noise, I do find that's when you create the space for some of the best ideas to come in. So not only did I have the idea in terms of how to do this leadership program for PepsiCo, it also was where the book was born, and then also a couple of new company ideas, which I currently am also pursuing. So I think it just creates, you know, turning everything off and creating some silence so that you can actually let your brain think is incredibly valuable.
We're talking with Jeremy Cage. He's the author of All Dreams on Deck. He went around the world with his family for 16 months. I totally agree with you, Jeremy, because I find that my mind is so crowded with things every single day, not only for what I got to do, but things coming at me. And then when I get off the grid, finally, as you say, my mind opens up, and you call it time to get serious about dreaming. Why is dreaming so important, and why are we most of us leaving that part out of our life today?
It's actually crazy. I firmly believe that dreams are the most powerful force on the planet. If you think about it for just a second, you know, the country that we live in started as a dream. Every business, every service, every relationship, everything around us started as a dream. And yet, for being a force that's so powerful, we tend to put it on the back burner. And as a consequence of that, what I contend in the book is that I think that most people will die, most people and actually most businesses will die full of potential because we lose sight of the dream.
And so how do you make sure you don't? I mean, do you write these dreams down? A lot of people write these dreams down. They put them in a notebook. They never look at them, or they never publicly talk about them because either they're ashamed or it doesn't match the reality of where they think they're going in the future.
Well, I think the critical first thing, and I talk about this, is that I think that the reason why we don't achieve many of our dreams is that we dream vaguely and we dread specifically. So we have this vague dream of what success looks like. I want to start a new business in X or whatever. But then we dread specifically because that's a vague dream. It forces us to dread specifically. And then we think about all of the reasons why we shouldn't do it or all the challenges and this, that, and the other. And that actually paralyzes us from action. So the first thing that I challenge readers and your listeners to do would be to flip that on its head and get people to dream as specifically as possible, because the more specific you are about that dream, then you dread vaguely. So you flip it on its head, and you just deal with the issues one by one because you've got such a clear idea of what that dream is.
All right. Jeremy, guilty as charged. That's definitely me.
Most people are, actually. And so all I try to do is just challenge you to get really specific about your dreams. And then once you've got that level of specificity, again, using the sailing trip for just a second, Barry, you know, I could have said one day I'd like to sail around the world with my kids. But if it had stayed that vague, then I'd have focused on, well, what about taking a break mid-career? That's disastrous. What about the financials? What about put the family at risk and this, that, and the other? It would have paralyzed us from ever doing it. And so instead what we did is we said we want to go when the kids are old enough that they can help and they can learn from it and they can help be shaped by the experience, but young enough that it's still okay to be with mom and dad. So we said, okay, that needs to be when Bradley's 12 and Elena's 10, which means we have to go in 2007. So all of a sudden you get to a much greater level of specificity, and it forces you to action.
Absolutely. That's why I said, hey, we're going to go trek gorillas in Rwanda. My family's like, we're going to do what? And so very, very specific.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the book is you talk about, and I quote, more often than not, the risk of turning back poses a greater risk to your achievements than having the courage to keep going in the face of adversity. Talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, everything is difficult before it's easy, right? You know, we don't think about walking now, but think about when you were just born, walking was an incredible challenge. And just imagine if you'd have given up. So the point is, you know, I think that oftentimes, you know, it's far more dangerous to turn back. Like if we were caught in a hurricane for three days straight, 60 to 70 mile an hour winds and waves that were 60 to 80 feet.
Wow.
The most dangerous thing that I could possibly have done would have been to turn back into that storm. You know, I had to just kind of keep going in the face of that adversity, change course a little bit. We didn't get to the same place in Australia that we thought we were going initially. So I had to change course a little bit, but I didn't turn back in the face of adversity. Similarly, when you're starting a new business, you're obviously going to run into a lot of adversity, be it cash flow, be it, you know, securing new funds, getting new orders, building a brand, you name it. And I think the worst thing that you can do is most times, of course, there's always going to be exceptions, is actually, you know, abandon the dream. I think you should adjust course, learn from what's going on, adjust course. But keep going in the face of adversity.
Yeah, I think that's an important point because it's that old saying that says when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. It doesn't mean you should quit, but as you say, it means you have to adjust the course. You have to do something different to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
I think that's the critical part about it. Well, Jeremy, I think this is really fascinating. Where can people get a copy of the book and learn more about what you learned and how to get all their dreams on deck.
Yeah, well, the book is available now on Amazon.com, so that's probably the easiest way for folks to get it. But if they want to find out more about the Cage Group, then they can go to thecagegroup.org, and that says that gives you a little bit more information about what we're doing.
And what initiatives are you currently involved in?
I have a couple of startups. I have a snacks startup called Farmer's Pantry, which is a substantial snacks business, which is going really well. I have a Better For You Ingredients business, which is trying to improve the health and well-being of the people on the planet by obsoleting scale ingredients as we know them today. And then I have a brand strength and brand potential assessment service for private equity that's called the Brand Charge.
Wow, keep on dreaming. Well, I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, thanks very much, Barry. Really appreciate it.
Coming up next, what is hampering women's progress in the business world? The COO of the retailer The Finish Line tells us coming up next. AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. 80 closed in both directions at Ridge Road because of a crash. It's involving a semi. Also, the on-ramp from Ridge Road to 80 westbound is also closed because of that crash. Now, on the Kennedy, if you're heading in the either direction on the Kennedy, there's no delays, but the express lanes are closed between the junction and Ohio Street. They're closed for overnight maintenance, and that continues until 8 a.m. Also on the Eisenhower outbound between the Jane Byrne Interchange and Racine, the road's reduced down to three lanes. Inbound Stevenson between State and Lakeshore has long-term road construction in place, and the inbound Ryan at the Jane Byrne Interchange, the exit ramp, remains closed with ongoing construction as well. Tonight, 25 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 27 and cloudy. Currently, it's 27 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning with Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Hey, if you're not getting a great night's sleep, I suggest that you order a MyPillow today and start the year off right. MyPillow has a patented interlocking fill that adjusts to your individual sleep needs. It's washable, dryable, manufactured in America, and guaranteed not to go flat for 10 years. The new year's here, so I suggest you resolve to sleep better and feel better. The best offer ever is still available. When you buy one MyPillow, you'll receive another MyPillow absolutely free. Plus, two free go-anywhere pillows. You're guaranteed to be satisfied. Visit MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special tab, and use the promo code Joe. You'll get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for the price of one. Start the year right. Call 1-800-489-0201. Mention the promo code Joe, that's MyPillow.com or 1-800-489-0201.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
When doing some research for the interview for my next guest, I found out some very interesting facts. First of all, firms with women in 15% or more of their jobs consistently outperform those with fewer than 10%. In addition, firms with a higher proportion of women on their board of directors or in top management positions had higher valuations, better returns on equity, and higher payout ratios. So if this is the case, why are more women not being advanced to the business ranks? What's really holding them back? Here to give us insight is Melissa Greenwell, is the author of Money on the Table, How to Increase Profits Through Gender-Balanced Leadership. She's the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of national retailer The Finish Line. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
So the facts, when I read those facts in researching this segment, I can't believe they're true. If that's the case, and everybody knows them, what is really hampering women's progress?
Well, I mean, as you know, Barry, change is hard.
Right.
And especially when there's some fear involved. And, you know, I think a lot of businesses and companies in the United States believe that we've been successful to date. So why change anything? But the truth is we could be far more successful if we had a little more gender balance in our leadership ranks.
Well, the statistics certainly bear that out. What do you think businesses are doing wrong when it comes to women's advancement?
You know, we all do what is comfortable. And when it comes to recruiting people for our businesses, we tend to reach out to the networks that are known and comfortable to us. And since many of the top jobs in corporations, in government, in education are held by men, they typically reach out to the networks that they know and trust. And, of course, they find good people that way. But oftentimes, women are still absent in those networks. So, you know, what we really need to do is get outside of our comfort zone and start networking with resources that can help us bring more women. You know, we also really need to develop this bench strength from within. It doesn't all come from the outside, and we won't be able to move the needle fast enough if that's all we focus on.
Why do you think, Melissa, that women, when they get inside a company and they're in the top management positions, why do they have such a tremendous effect really on the company and the bottom line?
Well, you know, I talk about this in my book, Barry. Male and female brains are very different. As a gender, we're wired differently, and we bring different tendencies to the party in the way that we communicate, in the way that we problem solve, in intuition. And when we're missing half of that thought leadership, you know, we're just not getting to the best solutions and services and products for our customers. So, you know, women have a lot to offer in helping us be more successful as a business when we've got inclusiveness of that entire thought leadership.
You know, I've had a lot of women managers over my career, and I always thought, in fact, they were better managers because they were better listeners, they were more collaborative, they were more empathetic. Do you think that has anything to do with their success in businesses?
I think it has everything to do with their success in businesses. And, you know, if you look at the chapter in my book on brain science, you know, it talks about those skills and those traits being more consistently demonstrated by women. And, you know, people like to work for people who are going to listen to their ideas, who are going to take, you know, all of the facts into consideration and not just, you know, jump and rush and take a lot of risk in getting to an answer. I think women in particularly bring the skill of collaboration and making sure that everyone's thoughts and ideas are heard before making decisions and going down a particular path.
We're talking with Melissa Greenwell. She's the author of Money on the Table, How to Increase Profits Through Gender-Balanced Leadership. She's the Executive Vice President and COO of national retailer The Finish Line. Melissa, let's say there are women inside any organization. What should they do if they want to lead?
You know, women, again, as a gender, not to a person, women tend to wait for their good work to be recognized. They wait to be invited to the party. They believe that if they do a great job, someone is going to make the offer, you know, for an advanced assignment, for a promotion. And so women tend to sit back and wait for that rather than asking for it, which is really what our male counterparts do, which in part is driving this disparity of having more women in leadership. So women are going to have to also get over their fears and take more risks and step outside their comfort zones and ask for those assignments, ask for those promotions and increased responsibility. And in doing that, you know, it's not just about asking for a title. It's about talking about how you can add value and what you will do when you actually have that responsibility or you're in that position. When you can make a value case, you'll be much more likely to be successful in getting it.
So who do you think is in the best position to mentor these women? Last week we had a U.S. Naval officer on the show, and he talked about how there really aren't enough women to mentor women in organizations, that the men have to also begin mentoring the women. What do you think of that?
I think that is absolutely correct. First of all, I believe that it's every executive, male or female, it's every executive's responsibility to mentor people within their organization. So, you know, I think it should be in executive job descriptions, quite frankly. But because there are more men than women in senior leadership, we have to go down that path. We have to get our male executives to mentor and sponsor up-and-coming female talent within their organizations. If we could get that to happen consistently, we would be making a lot more progress. You know, most of the mentors in my career have been men. You know, I've worked for a couple of females in my career. They were fantastic. But I had many male mentors in my career, and it made all of the difference. I'm certain I wouldn't be sitting in the seat I sit in today if it had not been for them.
So do you feel, you know, being an executive in a publicly traded large company, do you feel a certain pressure as a woman to really set an example or to help other women in your inside your organization, outside it?
Well, for sure. I mean, that that was great motivation to, you know, spend a couple of years working on this project and working on the book. And what really motivated me was, you know, watching talented young women leave the organization or leave other organizations kind of at that midpoint in their career. So, you know, sort of senior manager, director level, their career is about to take off about the same time that they're thinking about starting families. And, you know, I've seen so many women walk away from corporate America, not necessarily to stay home and just, you know, take care of their families, but to do other things, either to work for organizations that were more supportive or to start their own businesses. More businesses in the United States are started every year by women.
That's right.
So, you know, they're not choosing not to work. They're just choosing to work differently. And when I, you know, really paid attention to what my own company was losing in terms of talent and potential success, you know, that was really true motivation to try and do something about it.
And I think the important point here, Melissa, is that not to do it because it's right or it's altruistic, but do it because in the end, it's going to increase the profits of your company, right?
Absolutely. You know, you know, sort of the social values of this topic or argument, just, you know, that in itself is not moving the needle. We've been talking about the importance of diversity in our companies for decades. And, you know, relative to gender balance, you know, I like to make the point often that women are not a minority. You know, they're 50% of the population. So this particular challenge really shouldn't be you know, that hard to solve. And it really is about getting a better bottom line.
Yeah. And I think I think every CEO has really a responsibility to shareholders to use whatever methods they can do to do that. So the last question I had for you is, so how do you attract more women into your organization if you don't find yourself in a position where you have some good leaders already?
Yeah. Well, you know, it really starts by making sure it's a priority. So leaders at the top have to talk about why it's important to the organization, that they expect change. They need to put the numbers in front of people. They need to educate their teams about, you know, why it's important. And then ultimately, you know, you've got to build a culture and an environment that attracts and retains female talent. And from that, you can build a great employment brand. When you start doing those things, you can you can kind of market the hell out of the great stuff that you're doing.
That's a good thing to do. I got to interrupt you there, Melissa. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry.
This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts.
The Muslim man has got to go, hey, hey.
Protests erupt around the country over President Trump's refugee and immigration ban from some Muslim countries. Those protesters at the San Francisco International Airport. In Seattle, concern also for companies affected, including Microsoft, Starbucks, and Amazon.
They're international companies. They have an international workforce. And they rely on brilliant minds from every country in this world to help them and us succeed.
King County Executive Dow Constantine. President Trump says his order is going nicely. However, a federal judge disagrees, issuing a temporary order barring deportation of those detained. And in Sanford, Florida, a manhunt for a gunman who shot and critically injured an acquaintance at the Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. 80 closed in both directions at Ridge Road because of a crash. It's involving a semi. Also, the on-ramp from Ridge Road to 80 westbound is also closed because of that crash. Also on the Bishop Ford, if you're heading outbound at the Steel Bridge, watch out for a stall. It's taking out the left-hand lane. CTA Red Line, both directions of the Red Line service share a single track between Lake and North and Clybourne. That continues until 6 a.m. this morning. It's all because of maintenance work, but give yourself some extra time if you're heading out the door this morning. Again, 80 closed in both directions at Ridge Road because of a crash involving a semi. Also, the on-ramp from Ridge Road to 80 westbound is closed because of that crash. Now, taking a look at the temperatures, tonight 25 and cloudy. Tomorrow should be around 27 and cloudy. Currently, it's 27 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his six-part video series.
If I only had more leads, if I only had more prospects to sell to. Sound familiar? The Sales Prospecting Group is ready to help you take your business to the next level. The Sales Prospecting Group is a local Chicagoland company that has helped hundreds of companies nationwide to secure new business by getting them in the door. The Sales Prospecting Group will get you appointments with qualified prospects to help you grow your business. They don't use contract labor or offshore callers. Their in-house staff of business account executives are highly trained, professional, and effective. The Sales Prospecting Group will build a custom campaign specifically for your business. They know how to navigate complex corporate hierarchies to get to the right people and get you connected with them. The Sales Prospecting Group specializes exclusively on B2B sales. Call the Sales Prospecting Group now to learn how they could help your business grow in 2017. 630-701-9052. 630-701-9052. The Sales Prospecting Group. It's time to grow. Row.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So many small businesses are faced with the problem of inefficient processes and multiple sources of scattered information. Business teams need cohesive solutions for dealing with these challenges to reduce inefficiencies and drive productivity. Here with some solutions is Ann Monroe, who is the Vice President of Worldwide Marketing for FileMaker and is responsible for marketing the company's software for creating custom apps for iPad, iPhones, Windows, Mac, and the web. Ann, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Well, this is really a huge problem for small businesses. You know, they got information scattered all over the place. How did we get here, and how can we solve it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, small business owners are really focused on their unique business. And so they just want to get things done. And so in the process, they build out some inefficient processes and scattered information because they're just trying to get things done. So they will end up with, you know, duct tape together things. They'll have spreadsheets and paper and some email, and it gets the job done, but it's pretty inefficient along the way. And so it over time, as their business grows, that becomes a problem, because these challenges are really taking them away from their core business and reducing the time that they can spend on the things that they really love.
Yeah, and the data is all over the place, right? So they can't get any insight. Plus, everyone wants to access it from all sorts of different devices. So that just makes it even worse. So people have to look at a solution. And I think one of the things that people always come up with is, should I create a custom app as a way to organize it, or should I use something that's already on the market? What advice do you have for folks?
Well, so if there's an app that does exactly what you need, you should go out and get that. Absolutely. That will be your quickest way to address your problem. But what we find is that many of small businesses, there is something that's really unique about them. That's why that business owner started their business in the first place. And that's why building a custom app is something that can really help them have a unique advantage and really help them best use their time over using a packaged app.
So there's a lot of fear over creating something custom for your own company. You've got to really maintain it yourself. Where would you say the tipping point is, and to encourage people to say, no, this really can work? Then you get exactly what you want.
Yeah, so you know that's absolutely the case. What people think is they have this fear that they need to be a programmer, that custom apps are expensive, when that really is not the case. You can do it yourself, and we have, you know, lots and lots of customers who have done just that. We really focus on that. That's core of what we do, is we believe that anyone can create a custom app. And so that's been our focus and drive, is to help enable these small businesses to be able to do it themselves. even if they're not, they don't have IT experience, they don't have any programming background. What they have is the most crucial thing is that they are the experts in their business. They know exactly what they need that's going to help them see immediate results. And so we try to make it easy and affordable for them to get started and to build exactly what they need. And that's really gotten a lot of excitement in the last couple years as people have started to rethink how they work with mobile devices. And so it's really something that you'll find that you can do and you should definitely be taking a look at.
So what would you say are some of the most common small business applications that companies usually develop custom for themselves?
Sure. So, we've done surveys to find out exactly what people are using. And essentially what they're doing is they are automating those everyday tasks so that they could spend more time in their business. So they're doing things with their customers and clients, their inventory, their project management, their tasks, so that the things that have taken them a lot of time with paper and email and spreadsheets, they can replace those with a really streamlined process that works exactly the way they want it, and spend more time on the things that they love.
I have a client who has been using FileMaker for about 10 years, and it runs really the entire production project management part of their business, and they said they can't use anything but FileMaker. There's nothing that will exactly do what they want it to do. So that's a real fantastic success story. And if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So just visit FileMaker.com, and we've got lots of resources there to really help any small business owner get started.
And thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, networking is a critical part of small business success. But the problem is, what happens if you're an introvert like me and networking isn't necessarily at the top of your list? We'll talk about solutions. Is AM560 the answer? We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. I-80 heading westbound closed at Ridge Road because of a crash involving a semi. Also, the on-ramp from Ridge Road to 80 westbound is also closed because of that crash. Also, on the outbound Bishop Ford at the Steel Bridge, there's a stall and it's taking out the left-hand lane. Now, on the Kennedy, if you're heading inbound, there's no delays either inbound or outbound. However, the express lanes remain closed between the junction and Ohio Street, and that continues until 8 a.m. this morning. Also on the Eisenhower, between the Byrne Interchange and Wells, both directions have road construction. Inbound, the left lane is closed. Outbound, the roadway is reduced down to two lanes. Now, taking a look at the temperatures, tonight 25 and cloudy, tomorrow 27 and cloudy. Currently, it is 27 degrees, a little cloudy out there still as well. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, for many people, networking is quite easy. But for the rest of us that are our core introverts, it can become a real challenge. How can you grow and utilize your network if it's not really part of your personality? Here to help is Kelly Hoey, who has been called by Forbes as one of the five women changing the world of VC and entrepreneurship. And she's also been called by Fast Company as one of the 25 smartest women on Twitter. She has a column on Inc.com, interviews intriguing founders on her network for MyTurnstone.com. She practiced law in Toronto, spoken to audiences around the world from Beirut to Aruba to Auckland, interviewing leading Silicon Valley investors. Her most recent book is called Building Your Dream Network, Forging Powerful Relationships in a Hyper-Connected World. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barry. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I know that when I go out to – actually, when my wife goes out to a networking event, she's all energized afterwards, and she's so excited to meet people and things like that. And I go out to a networking event, and I do my thing, but I come back and I'm exhausted. And it really is more difficult for introverts. What advice do you have for people like me?
Well, I'm like you, Barry. I'm actually a reluctant networker, which comes as some surprise
right.
to people.
Me too.
So first of all, I'd want to say to anyone who's an introvert out there, or anyone actually who's an extrovert, I want you to rethink what networking is. Networking doesn't have to be going to cocktail parties or meetups, or, you know, standing around and handing out business cards and shaking hands and, you know, all those things that get us really, really anxious. Networking is any human interaction. So that's your, you know, you think of your day-to-day activities. That's your email signature line. That's your headshot you have on social media. That's the tone of a voicemail message you leave. All of those are networking activities. So if you're an introvert, you know, that's kind of good news. You can think about all the other ways you can interact with people. But let's face it, Barry, we're not going to get away from attending cocktail parties. So what does that mean? It means understanding why you're in the room in the first place. If you don't know why walking into that room and meeting those people or being part of that group or committee is going to add value to not only your contributions, but to whatever goal you're achieving, then you really need to rethink how you're networking and why you're in that room in the first place.
So do you think that focusing on your goal really will help you, even if you are an introvert, help you network better?
Absolutely. In my book, Build Your Dream Network, I have a number of case studies of people who I've met through my career who I saw achieve really great results, whether it was working up the corporate ladder, landing on a prestigious national board, getting a project crowdfunded, and I'd seen their results. And so I interviewed them and provided these as case studies in my book. What I didn't ask any of these people were, are you an introvert or an extrovert? And guess what happened? Most of them came back and told me they were extreme introverts.
Wow.
So being really intentional and purposeful about how you go about networking, you know, put those in little quotes, I think in this day and age when we have so many demands on our time and we have so many ways to make connections between mobile and social networking platforms, as well as meetups and networking groups and events, I actually think introverts are better networkers.
Now, you talk about how you should really avoid the random acts of networking. Does that mean that all networking is not necessarily good networking, or that having a large network is not necessarily as important as having a deep one?
You're hitting the nail on the head. All networking is not good networking. If you don't know why you're undertaking an activity, you know, you've got to question it. Is that, you know, someone just tells you to attend an event. Someone just says to you, you should join, you know, get on this networking platform. You've really got to connect it to where your goals, your ambition, your career is going. Otherwise, if it's just not tied to anything, gosh, you can spend that better time, you know, maybe with your family or reading a good book or doing something else rather than wandering around in a room or, you know, aimlessly posting on a social networking site and wondering what the heck you're going to get out of it. So, no, not all networking is good networking. And I really do push people to tie your networking and your human interactions to, you know, the goals and the achievements you're seeking.
So last question I have for you is, do men and women network differently, and is that a problem?
There are differences in the networks that men and women have as a generalization. Men typically have a broad, shallow network. Women typically have a narrow, deep network. One of those networks is really good for getting you opportunities. One of those networks is really good for getting you feedback and advice and mentorship. The fact of the matter is you need both of those networks if you're going to succeed.
And so if you're a guy who is used to, you know, wide and narrow, how do you go deeper when it's not your natural inclination, or sometimes you say, well, I don't have the time to do that?
You know what? We all need to make the time to do it. And, you know, there probably are some people in your network that you're continually going to. And maybe it's a question of just sort of sitting down and assessing who and when you're asking for information. Think about what your needs are right now and who in your network has got that skill set or experience. And, you know, rather than just reaching out to them, you know, in a casual way or reaching out whenever you've got some kind of an opportunity or, you know, you need a foursome for golf, think about how you could reach out to them and seek out their advice based on what their experience and thought leadership is and how it would help you with the problem you're trying to, you know, solve right
Ellie,
now.
I got to leave it there. This is AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. I was trying to get my blood pressure regulated, okay? And like after 3 days of taking this thing, my blood pressure went back down to normal. I am ecstatic. I am so happy with this stuff. It is my savior.
This was the first summer that I have not had to have a steroid shot to help me to breathe.
The reason why I'm taking it because I've got Hep C. Once I began taking your stuff, it took a few months. But believe it or not, my liver enzymes are way down, and it's normal now. It works.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free. And we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life, but I should have ordered it like 15 years ago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, I think if there's something that we all can agree about 2017 is that these are uncertain times. So how can a small business leader lead when they absolutely have no idea what's around the next corner? Here to help is William A. Sheeman, PhD. He's the CEO of Metris Group. He's a thought leader in human resources, employment engagement, and fulfillment. He's also the author of a great book called Fulfilled: Critical Choices, Work, Home, and Life. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Barry.
So we have absolutely no idea what's ahead for this next year, given the change in the White House. What's the best thing a leader can do if they have to lead during uncertain times?
Yeah, I think they are uncertain times. I can't tell you how many conversations I have had, including people outside of this country who are in human resources or business leaders, who continue to tell me how frequently conversations are coming up about the upcoming transition. And I think one of the big pieces of advice is just you need to have some dialogue in your company. Start talking to people and get it out in the open. And first step as a leader is just listen.
And so when you listen, are you asking questions or what people think without necessarily some prepared answers?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to go. And I think come in with some questions to people. What's making you feel this way? What are your concerns? What would make you feel differently? You know, whose voices do you respect? I think it's really important not to come in with pat answers and look like you're just kind of glossing over something.
So what do you do when people express their fears, right? Do you say, hey, it's going to be okay, we're in it together, we're going to figure it out, or there's some better answer?
I think whenever one is providing perspective, and it's particularly important with millennials today who haven't had, they didn't have the Vietnam, they didn't have the 9/11 or other crises in their early life. And I think it's important to just step back and help them provide some perspective on how other crises were managed, how we got through it. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson appearing on a late show right after the election, so you quoted Edgar Mitchell from Apollo 14, who said, when you step out into space and look back at Earth, you realize that we're pretty small in perspective. And I think it's helping people not overreact to issues.
Yeah, and I think that's really hard because there's like a 24/7 information coming at us all the time, or maybe one tweet at a time, and we have no idea what's happening from day to day. So I think that's very difficult. I found that, in fact, when this last year, when I took a couple weeks off and traveled to Africa, I really realized how small we are compared to the rest of the world.
Exactly. I think an important thing to do at this point in time are two things, really. One, reaffirm your values. People are looking for stability. And while you can't go out and over-predict outcomes, you can at least provide some strengths, some things that are values, things you do in your company, things that will likely be there that they can connect to. And I think the second one is survey and pulse your people on some regular basis. Create opportunities to get feedback from people that begin to tell you about their engagement, concerns, fears, and not just work issues, but how it relates to other parts of their life.
I think that's good advice. Now, Bill, before we leave you, I know you wanted to mention your Facebook page so people can continue the conversation.
I do. You can contact the Facebook page at fulfilled.criticalchoices or my website at wschieman.com. And on Facebook, you can participate. Share your story. Share your concerns.
Bill, thanks for being on the show. And I want to thank all our sponsors for this week's episode, Microsoft and Nextiva. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck this year, you got to give me a call. And I've set up a private line for that, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
The new Trump administration could cause